Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for the weekend. And join us today are Art Moreno Jr. and David Meneses. They're here to talk about Mentes Hermosas, Beautiful Minds. It's an exhibit that David and Art had put together, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis, for having us.
Let's start with you, Art. I think a lot of people who grew up in the El Paso area are familiar with Art Moreno because of your dad's Photoshop.
Yes, Louis. My dad owned a camera store in town for many, many years. We grew up in the camera business, and I learned to take pictures when I was a young man, and I've always a young boy, and I've always taken pictures ever since. So I've been privileged to grow up in the photo business.
You know, I remember as a kid, my brother and I had ordered a camera from somewhere, and it was not very expensive. It was plastic with film. That's something that some people may not remember what it is. Yeah. But we were just experimenting, taking pictures of different things. And so I'm wondering about you as a child, you and your brothers. Did you just experiment on your own, or did your dad give you a little bit of this is what you need to do?
There was really no formal training in photography. We were given cameras at an early age. I think my first was a Polaroid Swinger. And so I would just play around. And since I had access to cameras there in the store, I would just borrow anything I wanted and just play with it, different lenses. And so it was just more of an experiment for me, a fun experiment, you know, kind of a hobby.
And did you stick with it, obviously? I mean, did you go on to school to
study this? No, I didn't, Louis. I mean, I've always taken pictures. When we transitioned from film to digital, I did not initially purchase a digital camera. I had really no reason to, but when we started to travel, I figured, well, I need a camera, and so film was being obsolete now, and so I transitioned into digital. I had to, basically.
And as I mentioned, David Meneses is also here. He works with Art. David, thank you for being with us again. And tell us a little bit about your photography experience.
Well, my dad was he loved to travel, and he loved to take pictures. So he used to go shop at Art's Camera Photographic. And he would hand me down his cameras over the years. So I just dabbled in it, actually took courses here at UTEP and did black and white darkroom, and put it off. Then went to Austin, worked professionally for about 5 years. When it transitioned into digital, I got out of it for a couple of decades, and then a few years back, Art needed some extra work on his real estate photography, so I joined him doing that.
So I want to ask a little bit about, you said your dad, and as so did Art, his dad. Your dad was not a professional photographer, though, right?
He was in the medical field. So when he went overseas, he liked to document and torture people with slideshows when he got back.
Slideshows is something that some people are thinking about PowerPoint, and PowerPoint is obsolete now as well. But there are still people who do slide presentations, and I want to ask you both about how difficult was it to make that transition from film to digital?
For me, Louis, it was very challenging. I was always used to film, and so it was another huge learning curve for me. But at the same time, I welcomed it because I could make errors and correct those errors. Whereas with film, you know, you had one shot at a good photo. But with digital now, you can delete and start again if you need to. So,
David?
I was mostly a darkroom person, so I was used to being able to do every aspect of the film, developing, printing. And to go to digital, the quality was so bad at the beginning that I was just not interested in it. And that's why I kind of had a 10-year gap before digital even somewhat caught up.
So I'm interested in what you said, that Art tapped you because you needed some help. How did that come about, and what was your reaction? Because, as you said, you had kind of left it alone for a bit.
Well, in his case, just the sheer amount of gear and the environment, you know, we had to keep a track of everything. He just needed, you know, somebody to help out with all the logistics of it. And most of it was really just keeping an eye on equipment and setting it up and making sure it all stayed in one place.
Yeah. What he's referring to, Louis, is when we started doing this. I'm not so sure he understood your initial question about how he hooked up with
me. Well, one of the things that he mentioned, your real estate pictures.
Yep.
And we know about the saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. And sometimes It may be a picture of a house, and you go, well, that house doesn't look very nice. But depending on how you take that picture, it'll invite people to go in there and find a little bit more. So what's the challenge about taking pictures of houses?
Yeah, well, obviously light temperature. You know, every house has different light temperatures. And so in the post-processing, it's our job to tweak that out. But it's what lens, what focal length lens should we use? What time should we shoot? Shadows, perspective control. There's just a lot of nuances that go into.
We are visiting with Art Moreno Jr. and David Meneses. We're talking about Beautiful Minds, Mentes Hermosas. This is a project that Art and David have taken on, and so we're going to go right into that. Let's start with you, Art. Tell us about Beautiful Minds, Mentes Hermosas, and how did this project get started?
Thank you, Louis. My dad was volunteering at a mental sanctuary in Juarez for several years, and he would always invite me to go with him. He would take hot dogs, he and other volunteers. They would have a monthly hot dog day. And for several years, he invited me, and I never really wanted to go. I had no real reason to go. And he said, bring your camera, son. And I said, okay. So I went and took my camera and joined my dad. And I knew I had stumbled into something very, very special, Louis. Very, very special.
David, what was your reaction when you got to go with Art and see this place and these people?
Well, the first reaction is simply, you know, thank God I'm in a position that is so different. And if something happened to me or my family, just the nature of the environment there was so overwhelming. And both in the sense that there's so much tender care between the staff and the pastor, and even between the various, you know, people that are there. And yet it is such a difficult environment because the range of issues that these people have is the huge spectrum. I mean, it's if you can think of a mental situation that's a handicap, it's there. And it's right there, visible. There's no glossing any of it over.
Well, these pictures that you all took, and I have the magazine booklet that I was given by Art, and I'm looking now at some exhibits here in our studio, and these pictures just, I mean, these people come to life just by looking at them. And, of course, it has some description of the picture, but just by looking at the picture initially, you see that every person there has a different story. And it may be a sad story to us, yes, but to them, they're happy. And
sure, yeah.
They welcome everybody.
Absolutely, Louis. The place in Juarez is called Vision en Acción, or Vision in Action. And they have a website now. If you just Google Vision in Action Mental Health Sanctuary, you'll see all about them. But the patients there, some have been there for 20 years. It started 26 years ago or so, and others just arrived. But when you walk into that, I call it a sanctuary. We used to call it an asylum, but now we've changed the name to a sanctuary. It's just remarkable. It's just absolutely remarkable. Words just can't describe.
At what point did you decide to put this exhibit together?
Oh, boy. It was several years ago after I visited for the first time. I reached out to the pastor and asked him if I could take pictures of each of the patients there, about 110 of them. And he said yes, and my goal was to give each patient a photo of themselves. And when I saw the images when I got back home, I said, there's something really special here. I need to do more with it. And I thought, I wonder if a photo exhibit featuring these patients would work. You know, I've never done anything like this before. So that's where it started, probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Louis.
David is Art's assistant in this project. And David, tell us about when you approached this with the camera and Art, you were working with Art at this point. What was one of the most difficult pictures to take? I'm sure that's a difficult question.
Okay, well, Art did all the photography. And I think the most difficult ones would probably be the setup for the photography was basically they brought in six, 10 people at a time. And they'd line up, and they'd wait their turn. And a lot of them were, like, really excited getting their picture taken. I mean, they really, really thought this was great. A lot of them turned into actors, clowns, exhibitionists. On the other hand, some people are so challenged that they essentially have almost no interaction with anybody. They're just in their chairs. And to me, when those people came up, it was the pastor and oftentimes somebody else could bring out stuff in people that you couldn't imagine. You saw somebody that was literally just slouched over in their chair, unreactive. They'd be like that, and the pastor would touch their head or something, anything. And that's how you get the responses that these people had, is he brought it out. It was something to see, and I would never have expected, looking at somebody, four or five people down in the line, how they changed once they got in front of the camera. Some did it on their own, but others it had to be kind of molded out of them through, and the only way I can understand it is he must have a special touch, that doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that must be developing over, the time that those people are in there.
The pictures that are in this book are a few pictures, but I'm sure that as a photographer, you probably took so many pictures, and then there was the task of deciding which ones to use.
Oh, sure. There were 110 patients there at the time. We photographed all of them, including the staff. On some of the patients that we photographed, we took, five or six photos, different actuations of each patient, because the patient was moving or expressing something different that we captured on digitally. But Louis, what was painstaking, if you would, was the editing process. It took me over a year to edit this project. Manipulate much. It was just cleaning up and fine-tuning and finding the right hues and color balance and contrast and clarity and deciding, okay, what kind of look do I want to present? What kind of look do these patients deserve? And a lot of portrait photographers, they'll soften skin, they'll make it look glamorous, but I didn't want that approach. I wanted a very stark, graphic, contrasting look, and that's what I think this exhibit accomplished.
As you mentioned, when someone takes a photographer, takes a portrait, it's very best. And in the old days, of course, they would sit for a portrait,
sure,
and they would paint them.
Sure.
And you probably remember there was a place at the mall called Glamour Shots, where you can go and look your best. And these pictures that you took, they show that some of these people are hurting.
Yes.
But it's not like you intentionally want to hurt them or any way. You did your best. You went out of your way to take these pictures. And I want you to tell me about the one that I'm looking on here at the studio, Ambrosio.
Yep. He sort of hobbled in. You can see his shoelaces are untied. And he was very stoic looking, and the pastor had to help him sit and then pointed to the camera and said, ve allá, ve allá. And he was just kind of staring into space. And the pastor was in the image. It was not my intention to get the pastor in the image. It was just during that posing process, if you would, that the pastor was there, that I clicked the shutter, and when I saw the image on my computer, I said, "Man, this is it. This is one of the images." Fascinating, just to see the pastor's tender touch on his head, and just to see Ambrosio reacting gently to what's happening there. It was a privilege, Louis. Sitting behind my lens and looking at these beautiful people was a privilege that I'll never forget.
And the cover of the book,
yes,
we see a patient, and it looks like he's behind bars.
Correct.
But some people might say, well, you know what? they may be prisoners in their own minds, too, because of what they've been through. And everybody has a story, as you mentioned. And it's sad that you say some of these people were found abandoned
right. Sure.
in some
sure.
park.
Brought
in
by
Opera.
The police. Absolutely, Louis. The cover photo, the sanctuary has way in the back about 8 holding cells, if you would. And they're... It's, you know, they are holding cells, and new patients are, when they're brought in, they're put there for their safety, for the safety of the rest of the population, so they can be evaluated. There's a psychiatrist that comes in once a week, evaluates them, they watch them, they monitor them, and when they're deemed safe or when they're assigned medication as necessary, then they're released into the general population. If they start to act out or they're uncontrollable, they're put back into these holding cells. It's a very chilling experience to be in those holding cells. In fact, the cover photo of this here was sort of taken not by accident, but as I was walking through the cell, the gentleman was way in the back and he saw me and he walked up to the front. I thought he was going to lunge at me. I thought he was going to stick his hands through the cell and grab me, but he just stopped right there. He grabbed the bars and he just stared at me. And I wasn't ready, but I was ready. I had my camera and I grabbed it, and it just so happened to be a fabulous angle.
The pictures, I'm not sure how to describe them to people, but they look almost like they're painted. They also look animated. It's just very different. And as I told you before, they just come to life out of those pictures,
sure,
those panels.
Absolutely. Well, I used a medium format camera for this project, so the sensor size was huge. Used a flash, electronic flash, and a black background. And boy, I tell you, and of course with the editing, it just came together, Louis. It's a magnificent project, one of a kind, definitely. I've talked to photographers all around the country about this, and it's definitely one of a kind.
I mentioned at the beginning that we had some panels here in the studio where we're looking at some of the pictures, but if you wouldn't mind describing both of you describing to us the panels, how they came together, and then also where is this exhibit going to be displayed?
Well, you know, I reached out to a studio in Italy called Graphi Studio. They cater to professional photographers all over the world, and I reached out to them and said, look, I've got this idea. I sent them a prototype, a little book that I had made on Shutterbug or somewhere like that. I sent it to the local rep in Minnesota and or Minneapolis, excuse me. And I said, here's what I'm thinking. And she got a hold of that and she ran with it, Louis. She presented it to the owner of the company in Italy. And they were just really, really excited about the potential of this here. And so we talked for a great length about different media. We talked about standard print, the sizing, et cetera. And they came up with this. It's called Floor Art. It's an acrylic double-sided panel. It has a base, and it's 5 feet tall by 24 inches wide. And they came up with this basically for this exhibit. They've now included this in their repertoire for other photographers, but not the double-sided version. The double-sided, as I understand, is still for this exhibit. And so now the goal is to underwrite the project. It's not cheap. It's not cheap to print these out. And the whole end goal, Louis, is to bring awareness to the work that's being done at Vision in Action, Mission in Action, and so that hopefully someone's heart will be touched so that they can donate money to the asylum through the El Paso Community Foundation, which is kind of joined up with us in helping us collect the monies, tax deductible monies that they share with the sanctuary. So,
what about the panels themselves? Uh-huh. You mentioned that they were made in Italy, created,
yes.
And the book is fantastic. But people may wonder how many panels do you have, Art?
Well, I just two right now, Louis. You know, these two panels right here, value wise, is about $1,700. So for 55 or 52 panels, you know, it's about a $64,000 investment. So I just have two right now, and I use these for just to kind of help promote, help, you know, just bring awareness to the project in the event that somebody wants to help.
We're visiting with Art Moreno Jr. and David Meneses. We're talking about the exhibit Mentes Hermosas, Beautiful Minds. Now, David, tell us a little bit about your part in putting this all together and your experience.
Honestly, my part stopped the day I visited with Art. In terms of, he's done everything since in his like that. So my part was there that day to help him out and just to talk over how to describe some of the imagery.
But you never imagined that these images were going to turn out like this or be like this?
No, the way the vibrance and the materials really, as you say, just bring this exhibit to life. These people look like they're right there in front of us. I mean, it to me, it's just amazing because I've worked in this industry, and this is as good a representation as I've ever seen.
And Louis, I incorporated one of the photos of David in this exhibit. It was a test shot. He's holding a wipey, and he was using the wipey to clean the black background, which we could never clean because you step on it, you know. And I grabbed it, and it's just it was perfect. And I asked his permission to use it in the exhibit, and I felt it would just give an additional flavor, holistic flavor to the entire exhibit. Well, you know, when you include you know, the photographers themselves in the exhibit, it just I think it.
I'm glad you mentioned that David is included, and that David was asked permission because people might wonder, well, right. You took 110 right. pictures, right. And how did you go about getting them to give you permission? Was it the home? Was it the facility? And of course, as David mentioned earlier, these patients were just so excited because if you go back to when we were kids and in grade school, and they were going to take our pictures. Right. You got a free comb, and everybody was.
Good
question. The picture never turned out good anyway.
Good, very good question, Louis. Because the pastor has sole custody of these residents, patients, he's their legal guardian, and I wanted to be careful with HIPAA laws, obviously. So I reached out to my sister-in-law, who's an attorney in Boston, and she did some research, and it was concluded that whatever laws are in the country where the photos were taken, if any laws, follow into the next country. So in other words, because there's no HIPAA laws in Mexico, I can say, because I have the pastor's written permission, I can safely showcase or show these beautiful human beings in the United States or anywhere else in the country, you know, provided I can find a venue for it. And so there isn't any issue with confidentiality or you know, anything like that, which makes it even more remarkable, because most people don't have an opportunity to walk up to someone who's mentally challenged and just stare at them or look at them and evaluate them and to look into their eyes and into their soul and to see their shoes and their hands and their fingernails and so forth. Most people don't have that luxury or that privilege, you know? And here is an opportunity for someone to walk up to a 5-foot color media and just stay as long as you want, looking, not necessarily gawking, but looking and analyzing and seeing the beauty and the preciousness of another human being that could very well be me or them, you know, standing there.
As you mentioned earlier, the fact that the picture is on the panel, but then there's also a short little story.
Yes.
Tell me about how did you come about selecting what to say about that person?
Wow, yeah, that's great. You know, Louis, initially the narrative was not part of the goal. Yet I knew something was missing, and I didn't know what. And so I said, you know, I would love, when I would look at Ambrosio, I wonder who he is. Where did he come from? When did he get there? Why is he there? Et cetera. So I reached out to the pastor, And he and one of his assistants, a nurse who was once a patient there, he went back to school, got healed, got well, went back to school, became a nurse, and now is there full time, put narratives for each of the patients together. It took them about 6 months in Spanish. And so they sent me a narrative. I had to send them the photo to make sure I got the right person, the right narrative. So, and then I hired an editor, and she went through all of the narratives and tweaked it and kind of rewrote it so it would make sense. And then my graphic designer incorporated that narrative into the acrylic panels.
And just by looking at that picture, you already kind of have an idea, and you say, as you said, I wonder where did he come from?
Exactly.
What happens? What's his story?
Exactly.
But every picture in this book has a short story, a little bit about it. And the next one that I'm looking at is Juan, and he's originally from Cuba.
In Cuba, he was a boxer, a professional boxer. Yeah, exactly. How he got there, I don't know. But he's a gentle soul, super, super soul. Now, this book doesn't have narratives of every single patient. I'm working on one that will. We have a designer who is putting together a hard copy book of this that we can sell so that the funds can be donated to the sanctuary.
So how do people get a hold of this book, or if they want you to make a presentation, what do they need to do?
They can go to our website, mentesermosas.com, www.mentesermosas.com, and there you can see a portion of the exhibit, my contact info, etc.
I was looking at one of the pictures, and it says Juan Gabriel.
Yes, I know. I thought that too. I thought that too. And you know, Louis, the picture on the next page, that's her. That's his mom. His mom is fine. When he went to the sanctuary, she missed him so much. She couldn't live without him. She went and checked herself in and now lives there to be with him.
What an incredible story. And as you told me earlier when we talked about this, it must have been about a month and a half ago, the fact that some of these people, they were found.
Right, exactly. And they're brought by the police. The pastor himself has found some. I think Ambrosio was left at the pastor's house in Sunland Park, New Mexico. Was taken there, if I'm not mistaken.
We were talking, and you and I were talking about when our parents get older, we have to make that tough decision about putting them in a nursing home or another facility.
Yeah.
And you have a similar story about Maria here.
Yes. She's lucky to have family. There's a section of the sanctuary that is catered only to older people, not necessarily mentally ill. And the pastor is building a dorm for 20 patients so that the men and the women can be separated so that they're no longer sleeping in the same room and they can have separate bathrooms and so forth. Each story is phenomenal, Louis. It's just incredible. They're precious human beings. They're beautiful. They have beautiful minds, even though we may not understand them. And that's why we called the project Beautiful Minds, because they indeed are beautiful, beautiful people and have beautiful minds.
Art, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Louis.
We've been visiting with Art Moreno Jr. and David Meneses talking about Mentes Hermosas, Beautiful Minds, the exhibit that Art and David had been put together. We're going to talk a little bit more next week about the Vision en Acción from the people who run the facility, and we'll hear some more information about that. If you want information about what we've been talking about today, you can go to mentesermosas.com. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.